haven't been able to control the play in midfield the way that Maradona has been able to do. And he's hurting England again here. It's a brilliant run. It's one of the World Cup great goals.
Yeah, that was Maradona in the 1986 World Cup. Many say it was the greatest goal of the century. Unfortunately, we lost the great man Maradona at the age of only 60. Far too short there a couple of days ago. But let's welcome in the team on this Friday morning, Dean Lester. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Gareth. I think I've watched that goal about 20 times in the last few days. It's just mesmerising watching it, to be honest. And, yeah, a great man gone too soon.
And he's inspired our topic of conversation this morning, Hamish McLaughlin. Like, Maradona was just beautiful to watch. He was majestic on a football pitch. It was like he was born to do what he did there on a football oval. And we're asking our listeners out there this morning, who are the most beautiful people on a sporting field? 0416 905 052, 0416 905 052, to join our conversation. Good morning to you, Hamish.
Hello, Gareth. Hello, Dino. Hello, everybody. Yeah, that commentary was almost as good as the goal itself. Yeah. But if you listen to the Spanish version, he held on to goal for about 15 seconds. It was fantastic. And as Dino has done this week, I've trawled through all of the Maradona footage and reminded myself how superb he was. And there was some footage I sent Dino, actually, that he was just warming up before a game to the music. Yeah. And watching him warm up, keep a ball off the ground for a few minutes, laces undone, just crowd filled, knowing he was the best in the world, just sort of getting himself into a zone. I thought Dino was almost the highlight of the packages this week.
Yeah, that was just a show in itself, and he was only warming up for the main event.
Hamie, just for you. That was like Dino after the quarterback down the straight there at Flemington on that Saturday afternoon, Hamish.
It's a bit of famous footage made better by the commentary. And, you know, he was a rock star. And I was looking at some images of paintings all around sort of Argentina, where he grew up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's murals of him all around the place. And did a bit of reading on his life. And he was a troubled rock star. And there was a great line. I can't remember if it was a coach or a mate of his that he said there were two individuals with Diego Maradona. Diego, I would travel around the world with and have a lot of fun and walk to the end of the world for him. And Maradona, I wouldn't go too far. He was too troubled and too insecure and found too many ways to hurt himself.
Yeah, he did live a troubled life, Dino, at the end. But when he was at his very best on a football field, and he will be remembered as the tributes have flowed in for the superstar from Argentina over the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, he's not alone when there's that adoration, how you handle it worldwide. It doesn't matter which sport or which walk of life, how you handle it. And yet probably it troubled him in later life.
We'll get to your Hall of Fame now, Hamish. A bearded Hamish McLaughlin this morning. We might need to take a picture of that. He's looking rugged, Hamish. Unbelievable,
well,
Dino.
The shaver has gone as a result of no more Channel 7 for the rest of the year. And it's one of my sort of favourite periods where the shaver disappears, although my kids call them the spikes, and they're not wrapped in them when I kiss them goodnight, but they're here for a while. But the Hall of Fame, Gareth, I've deviated from sport in essence, but we played it as a team, and I'm giving the Hall of Fame nod of the head to all Victorians. 28 days in a row.
Yes.
To officially get rid of coronavirus. Dino, I was a half glass full guy. I didn't think it was going to happen, but 28 days of double donuts. That's a hell of a team performance. So Victoria goes into the Hall of Fame. And Dan Andrews, much maligned throughout, led us pretty well, I reckon, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, he certainly did. And the fact that no one in any Victorian hospitals is being treated for coronavirus when we were just, you know, going through the roof there at one stage is... is an achievement. There, you know, there's been speed humps along the way with how things have been handled, but they've stayed the path. And yeah, as you said, all Victorians should be proud of what we've had to do to get out of a bit of a messy situation.
I think it's the best part about life. Sometimes, Dino, that we face adversities. People might have made a mistake, but we've found a way to get out of that trouble that we were in. And Victoria should be proud. Like, we've eliminated the virus today, 28 days straight. So we can walk outside now, and we can walk out and we can feel safe, unlike most of the other world that are doing it really tough at the moment.
Absolutely.
All right, then. Our topic of conversation today, the most beautiful, majestic sports people to watch on a sporting field. I'll start off here with Usain Bolt. This is him winning the 100 metres in the World Championships at Berlin.
The Bolt is loaded. The World 100 metre final.
Set.
They get away first time. Tyson Gay right alongside Usain Bolt, but here he goes, streaking away already. It's Bolt all the way. He's looking round at Gay. Watch the clock. It's goal for Bolt. And again, he's done it again. A new world record for Usain Bolt. They say lightning doesn't strike twice. Can you believe it? He is flying.
He just glided across the athletics track, didn't he, Dino?
He did, Gareth, and he was a great run-on sprinter because he wasn't brilliant out of the blocks, but he's just built, and those side tracking shots would just see that speed he'd built, and by the 50-metre mark, he'd have them. And, yeah, he's a magnificent sportsman, and that'll please Birragara Philip, who didn't want us to talk politics, so we're into sport now.
Yeah.
there's plenty of Birragara Philips about the place. In terms of the way he did it, Dino, I remember in Rio in 2016, through the heats. I mean, it's not as if it's a sport that's foreign to many. We all, at some point, you know, if we're lucky enough to be able to walk and run as fast as we can. So the world's trying to do it and trying to beat him. But he would be slowing down with 15 to go or so, looking over at his competition, smiling. And he was just striding out, never sort of got himself to a point where he was looking stressed or anxious. Mm. And that sort of, I think he sums up a beautiful athlete perfectly. It's a good one off the top. But to do it, Dino, at an Olympics, to be looking around and slowing down and still winning gold, extraordinary.
Yeah, he was supreme athlete and did it time and time again, and for a long period of time just held that speed and ability, and even survived that guy on the Segway that bowled him over after one of his wins.
Dino, we might go to one of your favourite athletes to watch live, and we're turning the clock back to 1991. It was the Caulfield Stakes.
Right around them, here comes Superimpose, gaining ground with every stride. He's followed by Der Bridger and Weekend Delight as they straighten up in the Caulfield Stakes now. And it's Dr. Grace moving up on the outside to tackle Shaftesbury Avenue, clear of Citizen. Down the outside, flying home, Superimpose. Down past the 200-metre mark, Shaftesbury Avenue on the inside from Dr. Grace, Superimpose and Citizen. But it's Shaftesbury Avenue in front with 100 metres left to go. He'll be too good, Shaftesbury. Shaftesbury Avenue by two lengths to Superimpose, second, Citizen, third. Then Dr. Grace, Rough
Dino, you love this horse.
Yeah, and it was a great race to pick, Gareth, because I think it was probably the him at his most beautiful, Shaftesbury Avenue, and the rider was Darren Gouchy, and he's probably the prettiest rider that I think we've ever seen in the saddle. As talented as he was as a rider, but just in the artistry of riding a horse, he just looked perfect. He was the right size, perfect on a horse, and he was perfect on that horse on that day. And they broke 2 minutes for 2,000 metres in the Caulfield Stakes that day, and that was on his way to a luckless run in the Cox Plate and then a third in the Japan Cup. But for me, he needed top of the ground. He wasn't the bomb-proof horse that could handle everything. But when he was on song like that, he was, I thought, just poetry to watch.
Dino, in terms of horses' actions and horses that you've seen, you mentioned Shaftesbury Avenue, who are the few that when you saw them gallop, they may not have had to have been a freak winner like Black Caviar, but what actions did you see as just the perfect movement?
Yeah, well, that's why I think, you know, Shaftesbury Avenue, I think, and the horses that are great horses that were, their vulnerability was wet ground, the ground moving underneath them probably compromised their beauty. And horses like Let's Elope, I think when she strode out, she was magnificent. And we even probably saw it a little bit with Black Caviar, even though there were a lot of things going wrong at Royal Ascot, that the ground was moving under her feet that day as well, and she wasn't at her brilliant best. So, yeah, I think that when you see them on the dry ground, probably Shaftesbury Avenue, Let's Elope, Hariba springs to mind, Scalacci springs to mind, all big, fluent actions, beautiful, beautiful moving athletes.
We've got so many text messages coming through now. Mark War, he's beautiful to watch, especially on the leg side. I watched a few videos of him this morning, like when Akhtar and Wasim Akram were bowling to him and the ball was swinging in or angling into his pads. He would just look like he's got so much time and away he would go. There's a SMS coming through right now, Hamish. David Gower, the great English batsman. He was majestic at the crease.
It's funny you say David Gower. I grew up and I was a tennis player and I used to play tennis in the mornings and go and watch the first 11 play in the afternoon. And there was a good batsman who had a bit of talent, and his father was obviously a cricket fanatic, and he used to sit under a tree on the other side away from the crowds. And every now and again, he used to yell out to his son, who was, his name was Anthony. He said, "David Garrett, Anthony, David Garrett," basically saying, try and just be that easy. He was a left-hander as well. And it was just sort of David Garrett left-handed. He was left-handed as well as David Gower. And I think he was basically saying, try and play that effortless, beautiful cricket rather than try and muscle the ball around. And whenever I think of Mark War, I think of him just flicking it off the pads, Dino.
Yeah, he was a beautiful cricket to watch. And with the listener saying about David Gower and so many of the West Indian batsmen, but my favourite was a bowler, and it was Michael Holding, the way he could just lope into the... It just looked like it was effortless, and then 150k ball had come out of his hand doing it sort of three-quarter pace. It just looked... He was a magnificent cricketer. And you got to interview him earlier in the year, Haim.
Well, I met him probably 10 years ago at the cricket, bizarrely enough. I went to the cricket with a guy called Mike Bell, who is a trainer at Newmarket and married a mate of ours, and we went to the cricket and I met him. And they say never meet your heroes. Well, he was elevated from hero to God. And then I texted Mike and I said, could I get Michael Holding's number? We'd love to interview him on That's Racing. And he came back into my conscious a little bit after delivering the most beautiful 10 minutes of his life and his ordeals when he was asked around racism. And he was just, he ended up in tears. I ended up in tears watching. I think we may have even spoken about on the show before, but I played it to my kids, and they at this young, naive age, 4, 6 and 8, can't understand how someone could be vilified because of their colour of the skin. But Michael Holding, all of his life and still to this day, feels as though it's all too apparent. We know that it is, but gee, he's a wonderful cricketer, a beautiful cricketer, and a beautiful man. And if you haven't watched it, to all of our listeners, I assume you just Google or YouTube Michael Holding talking on racism. It's just terrific, but lovely man. Loves his racing.
He made a difference on the cricket field because of his genius, but that particular statement on Sky Sports there during a cricket coverage on the opening day of that Test series against the West Indies, it was a rain delay.
Yeah.
That 2 or 3 minutes might be the biggest influence that he has on world sport and in society. When you probably least expected it a little bit. And it was like school teachers should play that particular grab from Michael Holding to teach kids what's acceptable and what's not.
Yeah, and Dino, he said, he spoke so brilliantly, but I said, so where are you living now? He said, half in Newmarket and half, I think he's back at home. And he said, I said, how often do you get to the Gallops? He said, every morning. Yeah, he goes and walks up onto the heath every morning and watches all the horses run. And he finds a beauty in racing that, a lot of us do. He loves the horse. He's obsessed by the horse. He loves the insights into the trainers. And, he's a superhuman.
We might take a quick break on, as we go to the break, Hamish, we might relive. And I was talking to you before the show regarding the majestic players, and you said that Gary Ablett Senior was one of those. And
I sort of contradicted myself.
Okay.
I said he was a magnificent player and electric, but the 89 grand final, he had a beautiful afternoon. Can we squeeze it in? And you gave me a tick on it.
All right, then, as we go to the break, this is a little bit of magic. On that day, on the last Saturday in September, it was a losing grand final for Geelong. But Gary Ablett Senior, boy, wasn't he a star.
Bairstow over the top. Bruns. Bounce favours Bruns. Bruns goes for goal. Brown was at the back. Ablett! This could be the record number of goals kicked in a grand final. At the moment held by Dermot Brereton. Here goes Ablett for goal number 9. And he's threaded it.
SN Central, brought to you by Tabs Treble. First leg quaddy fail? It's treble time. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
One wonderful sponsors here of Dean and Hamish. If you're looking for a new job, head to careerone.com.au. Hamish, we'll start with you, the biggest job of the weekend.
Well, I think there's a couple that I sort of raffled, and one was the Australian selectors. Do they go with Joe Burns or Will Pekowski? And you know, does the next week or two of competition dictate it for them? Not sure, but the biggest job I reckon right now, Dino, is for those that are running the Australian Open and the government decide what they do, given we've got a completely clean state, around how they quarantine the athletes and making sure that for the sake of the tennis tournament, which I love, and it's a favourite fortnight of the week for me, of the year for me, is how do they manage, what is it, 2,000 individuals needing to come into Victoria to play the Australian Open and the surrounding tournaments? I reckon that's just, it's going to be a complicated and complex and political beast that they can't get wrong.
Yeah, it's true, Hame, and the amount of athletes that, you know, I mean, the compromise for them is if they're in lockdown, they lose their, you know, their edge of fitness wise, yep, and things like that, so they can't that's got to be nutted out, and the preliminary tournaments are they all going to be in Victoria? Is that absolutely,
yes, yep,
set in stone?
Yep, they need to be in the one place, Dino, so they can, yeah, quarantine and then play that Australian Open by the end of January. I think if you ask the majority of Victorians and you did a poll or they went to the polls, and I love this tennis tournament like Hamish does, but I would say Victoria and the people of Victoria, what we've been through in 2020 and reading what's happening in New Zealand with the Pakistan cricket side, Dino, I would say that they would say maybe give it a miss this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's another complexity. I mean, and you know, if you get them there with limited crowds and hub situations, and how much can people afford to spend at this time? With what's gone on in the last 10 months.
Hamish, if you had a vote, would you want this Australian Open to go ahead in 2021?
Only if it is categoric that there is a hub and a quarantine facility that doesn't compromise all of the good work that we've done. I love the Australian Open. I want to watch Federer play again. He's going to come up in a moment as one of the most beautiful athletes I've ever seen in my, yes, life. But for what we've been through, you know, I think they're delaying trying to find the solution. Until there's a vaccine, there's no foolproof solution, I assume. So I want to see it happen, but I only want to see it happen if it's just bulletproof. Okay.
All right, then, Dino, the biggest job of the weekend for yourself. There's a host of SMSs that we'll get to. We've got about 6 minutes left.
Oh, well, Hamish mentioned it. I think the selectors, this sort of bubbling situation with who'll open with David Warner. Do you go, yeah, with what you know in Joe Burns or what you might get with Will Pekowski? And I'm hoping they go with the promise and go with Will Pekowski. So, but it will be nutted out.
The interesting thing, Dino, is if you go with Joe Burns in the first test, you won't drop him, I wouldn't have thought,
no,
after one test. So he gets two, and then suddenly it's, you know, the third or fourth at best for Will. He'd be having some nervy times, I guess. And the selectors have got a big decision. But as you say, what do you know, or are you selecting the future?
Yeah, it's a difficult one for the selectors. Reading between the lines, listening to Justin Langer and David Warner, if I was a betting man, which I am, I'd be saying that Joe Burns will be opening the batting. Maybe the tab should put out a market. Hey, my biggest job of the weekend, Simon told Helen, he's been the best dog all year, and he's drawn box two. He's been heavily supported to win the Tab Melbourne Cup. $450,000 to the winner. Oh, I think he's definitely got the biggest job of the weekend because half the country is on him. And
hey, this is the best Melbourne Cup I can remember that all, yeah, the big names got through. It's fantastic.
And I was talking about it this week, Dino, and I think it's the most, like you can identify this year's Melbourne Cup. I think the punters outside of greyhound racing know who Shimmer Shine, Simon Told, Howlin' Tigalong Tonk, Hardstyle Rico are, so they can watch it. Record turnover figures. I think they bet $10 million at that meeting last week, which is enormous for greyhound racing.
Yeah, well, you know, and the right one's lobbed, and as we said, now we've got a magnificent final, and the dogs that are in the field that aren't even really getting much of a mention are superstars in their own right. It's going to be a cracking race.
Here we go. Ex-AFL player Sean Charles, when he played for Lelbourne in Country Victoria, the smoothest, silkiest, phenomenal player I've seen, won a league medal. That's from Lee in Country Victoria. Good on you, Lee. Here we go. If you're talking cricket, Paul Sheehan, that's from Michael in Brisbane. Bjorn Borg, Hamish?
Yeah, Bjorn Borg. I raffled a few, and Dino and I discussed this a bit last night, but for me, seen him a lot, with no surprises, but Federer in particular, the top spin backhand, the way he played, I think he's the most beautiful athlete I've ever seen in my life. And before I get your thoughts, Dean, on it, I know you've watched as much footy as anyone. When I got it down to most beautiful footballers I've ever seen, I watched a lot of the Crows. Andrew McLeod, just for movement, yes, and the way he would, yep, just work through traffic. Federer on the backhand, and I think you're an Ernie Els buyer, aren't you, on the golf course?
Yeah, I think the Big Easy is one of the best nicknames because that's how he used to swing, or he still does swing the golf club for mine. But, they're a pretty good crew. But Federer, yeah, I certainly agree with. But growing up, I just wanted to be John Newcombe because the serve and volley came to him so easily. He was halfway into the net before the ball had gone over the net, and he was all over it straight away. And I love that rhythmic serve, and that's what I wanted to be when I was a kid.
Well, it's funny. I was commentating with John Newcombe one day. We were doing Switzerland versus Australia at the Royal Sydney Tennis Club, and I was doing the commentary. I had my phone, and my mum rang during the call, and at the change of ends ad break, I said to Nuke, "Oh, that was Mum. She used to have a poster of you on her wall." And Nuke said, "Well, give her a call." I said, "What, now?" He goes, "Yeah." So I ring Mum, and I think he's just going to say good day during the ad break. I call the next two games until the second phone call outside. Take them up.
Where are you, John? Yeah. Hey, we'll get through a few more, lads, before we only got a couple of minutes. Geez, time flies here on Dean and Hamish. Stefan Edberg, smooth serve.
Yes.
Gliding,
yes,
to the net.
Yes. Honourable mention.
Yeah. Alison Felix, an American athlete. Alison was the star of the 200 metres.
Hey, you got me there.
Yep. Got me until I Googled
Bruce
it.
Bruce is well versed. But I think, am I right in saying, I'll get it wrong, but I think she might have had a child and maybe even, she's a freak athlete to watch.
Yeah. I love Gavin Lang and the Sulky. There's a few for him as well. The late, great Gavin Lang, he just looked like he was with the horse there as one.
Well, and it was less is more. He used, yep, to do very little on them and get a lot out of them. And in the same way that in the riding ranks, Peter Cook was probably that in the Sydney riding ranks. He'd barely move on them and they'd be flying.
Kieran Perkins from Lane 8 to win a rare gold, as Dennis Cometti called it. He was wonderful to watch. Michael Phelps in the pool as well was just natural, majestic, beautiful. And before we go, we've only got about 30 seconds, Bill Collins. Didn't it come easy to him in a way, Dino, how he could describe a sporting contest?
Yes, he'd be having them move in, give you the totes, whilst having a wee Willem in one hand and the binoculars in the other.
And there's a text here from Birragulla Philip. Jamie Carr, where does she rate, Dino, in terms of beautiful jockeys?
Well, it's getting there, but with every ride, she's just the less is more theory again, and that's when it looks great.
Hey, the great Greg Hall just texted in Dean Lester with a picture of Roger Federer, so that's G Hall's vote. He said, "What about me? There was no one better in the saddle than me."
Yeah, ran into Roger Federer at the supermarket.
Yes.
G Hall in aisle 7.
He loves a photo too, G Hall. Good morning to you, great man. Friday, fill up, Dean.
I heard Hucker before I came on tip the first three favourites at Cranbourne. I'm not as brave as that. I'll just go race 1, number 2, Midnight Rambler, into race 3, number 4, Winsome. They're both short, but it gets us a little start into the weekend.
All right, then. Hamish, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you to all of our listeners and their feedback. There's a few that are a little upset when we were talking about politics at the start, but come on, Dave. And we're celebrating Victoria.
Well, and Phil's still upset about that too. He keeps rambling on about it.
Anyway,
bit of a rambler, Philip.
Hey, absolutely Hamish, you enjoy riding your polo horses this afternoon.
Well, it's going to be warm and it'll be good to be on a horse. Thanks, everyone.
I've got some breaking news as well, just before we let you go. Dean and Hamish, we've got a greyhound that I'm organising. We're going to call it Dean and Hamish. I'm getting the best bred dog to represent this show.
Really?
Yep. Unbelievable. It is going to be a lot of fun. Gil can have a share if he wants, Dino. I've organised it. Melbourne Cup 2 years' time. 450,000 large jumps in, and we'll be straight to Las Vegas to host the show.
This is just getting exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
I'm all over it.
I'm all chips in.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And we might even let a lucky couple of listeners join the syndicate as well. Dean and Hamish, the Greyhound. It'll be bigger than Ben-Hur. Good on you, lads. Have a wonderful day.